Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Hello, everybody. How are you, Mark?
I am doing great.
I have Rebecca here also today.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Mark. Great to be on again.
Good to have you, Rebecca. Well, Mona, why don't you introduce today's topic?
The topic today, again, we're looking at CBI countries. That's citizenship by investment. And we're again focusing on the Caribbean. Why is the Caribbean being the flavor of the month, Rebecca?
Oh, well, it's been very popular because, first of all, it's the easy access to a passport. We've had a lot of investors who have been interested in looking for that second passport. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that the Caribbean is actually, it's an older program as well. Yeah. It's just like the U.S. It's been around since the 1990s. St. Kitts and Nevis has been around for over 30 years. Dominica has been around since 1993. It has been a popular destination for businessmen who are looking for investment opportunities. But I think now, as we're coming to 2017, I think it's becoming more and more popular because of that passport.
Yeah, the passport. And we had Dr. Ashby from Grenada last week on the show. Grenada is different from the other Caribbean programs, and we will get into this in a little while as to why, mostly because of the E2 program. But the Antigua and Barbuda citizenship is very popular, and we are really lucky today to have on the show Charmaine Quinlan Donovan.
That's right. We do have Charmaine joining us today. Charmaine Quinlan Donovan holds the distinction of being the first national of Antigua and Barbuda, and the first woman to head the country's citizenship by investment unit.
Yay! Woman power.
Whoa, I am really outnumbered here. Prior to this appointment, Charmaine served as chief compliance officer and chief operating officer. She was instrumental in shaping and implementing policies and procedures from the establishment of the citizenship by investment unit, as well as making necessary enhancements in response to changes in the industry. Charmaine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. Hello, Mona. Hello, Rebecca.
So it's wonderful to have you here, Charmaine. Are you speaking from sunny Barbuda?
Oh, I'm speaking to you from sunny Antigua. I'm looking out of the window and seeing all of the sunshine, beautiful blue sky and very limited clouds. Really lovely, lovely weather here today.
While we have snow.
Oh dear. Come down to Antigua.
Charmaine, this is a EB5 podcast program, and we've been bringing on the CBI countries lately. We had somebody from Grenada speaking on the program last week. We're really delighted to have you here, but we want to know a little bit more from you, first of all. Where exactly is Antigua and Barbuda, first of all?
Well, Antigua and Barbuda is in the heart of the archipelago of the Caribbean islands. We are the eastern West Indies. To the west of us, you will find Grenada. Maybe about an hour's plane ride from Antigua is Grenada. Antigua is actually the hub of the Caribbean. To get to the other islands, most times you need to come pass through Antigua and take a flight to these islands. We have regular, every day, we actually have international flights to the USA, to the UK, to Canada. So we are a travel hub based on our unique location right in the middle. Everyone comes to us to get to the other places.
That's great. So is it a quick ride over? It would be a quick plane ride over to the US.
Yes, it's about 3 hours to get to New York, and Miami is about 2 hours.
Well, that's quick for the U.S. when we're used to 4 to 14 and 16-hour flights. But for
yes,
Europe,
to the U.S., it's about 3 to 4 hours. And to the U.K., it's about 8 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. I definitely know it's a direct flight from Atlanta because I've gone from Atlanta to Antigua and, unfortunately, back again.
Yeah.
Well, for the citizenship program, how long has the citizenship program been in place in Antigua?
Well, we've been up and running now for about 4 years. We started, the unit started in August 2013, and we started processing our files in November of 2013.
And have you seen an increase in popularity?
Yes, I think based on our most recent trips to Hong Kong, to France, we've been getting positive feedback. It seems as though the word is getting out there about the Antigua and Barbuda program. We're infants compared to places like St. Kitts and Dominica, whom you've mentioned before. But I think we are a popular program because we have clear and established processes. People understand what it is they need to apply to the program. We have very efficient staff, so turnaround time is very favorable. And it's more like a one-stop shop because to ensure that you have a superior customer service experience, we also facilitate the passport process at the end of the approval.
So one of the biggest advantages of the Caribbean is the speed of the passport. How long does it take?
But our legislation requires us to complete the processing within 90 days. So within 90 days of receipt of the file, we need to respond to the applicant whether they've been approved, denied, or if the application has been delayed for cause, perhaps we need additional information. What we've been seeing, the average turnaround time, particularly for those applications that plain vanilla applications, they're not any issues with them or all of the documentation is in place, we're seeing a 6 to 8 week turnaround.
Oh, wow. So 6 to 8 weeks to getting a passport.
Yes.
That's fast.
To obtain citizenship, to obtain an approval. And then there is the time in for us to collect the balance of the processing fees and for you to make the investment. And then there's the passport process thereafter. So in terms of submission of the application to an approval for applications that we've received all of the documentation and we've been able to verify all details and there's a clean background check, between 6 to 8 weeks you can get an approval.
Charmaine, quickly, a lot of our investors, they have the issue of, do they need to actually be there in Antigua and Barbuda to complete the application, or can this be done outside? What are the steps in that process?
Well, the applicant doesn't necessarily need to come to Antigua and Barbuda at all during the application process. They would need to submit their application through a licensed agent. All of this will be done without them having to visit Antigua. However, upon approval, there is the requirement to visit the country subsequent to that.
And can I ask you, Charmaine, do you require biometrics?
Not at this moment. In the future, this may be a requirement, but as it stands, we do not have the requisite framework or structure in place to receive biometrics.
Once you have a citizenship, how many countries is there visa-free travel to?
Currently, we have visa-free access to about 135 countries.
That's a lot. And which are the countries which are included? I mean, United States, UK, countries like that?
We have visa-free access to the UK, the Schengen area, that's the European Union. We also have visa-free access to Hong Kong, places like that.
And the United States?
No, not to the USA.
No.
You would need to apply for a visa to get to the USA.
Mm-hmm. So Charmaine, we talked about, you know, whether or not you have to visit. So you said after approval, they would need to visit Antigua. But is there a residency requirement, you know, compared to the other, you know, the US and UK, we have a long residency requirement before you can get the passport or citizenship. What is the requirements for Antigua and Barbuda?
Our requirement is for the successful applicant, the new citizen, to visit the country for at least 5 days within the five-year period. The thrust behind of this is so that the new citizen can speak confidently about the country of his or her new citizenship. Mm-hmm. If you're stopped by an immigration officer at a different border and they ask you, Antigua, where is that? At least our citizen should be able to say where Antigua is, perhaps speak about the flag, our national dish, or the beaches, the climate, be able to be at least conversant about Antigua and Barbuda.
That's very interesting. But I would hope that, you know, the citizens of Antigua would be there more than 5 days out of 5 years, because I would love to enjoy the beaches.
I was thinking the same thing.
Invariably, once the new citizens get here, they spend the 5 days and then they book to come back again when they see how lovely the country is. Some of them who would have applied on the National Development Fund option are now seeking to purchase real estate now that they're new citizens and now that they've seen the beauty of the country.
So as you're going into that, can you discuss a little bit about that? What are the differences for, you know, the contribution versus the investment options? Because from our point of view, we see that you also have a third option as well, which is different from all the other countries. Can you explain a bit about that?
Sure. Currently, we have three investment options. The first is a contribution to the National Development Fund. This is a one-time investment, which is currently $100,000. The amount was recently reduced, but I'm not sure if our listeners are aware that in September, a number of countries in the Caribbean were affected by various hurricanes, particularly Irma and Maria. Our country, our sister island, Barbuda, was completely decimated in early September. As a result, the Barbudans would have had to be brought over to Antigua. We evacuated the entire country of about 1,800 persons. What is left in Barbuda now is perhaps 2% of the structure that was there. So the government decided that they would reduce the investment amount to attract more applications and raise the funding that is needed to rebuild Barbuda. That amount stands right now at US $200 million. And so we're feverishly trying to raise the funds. We're hoping that this can be done within a 12-month period because that is the time frame within which, yes.
So what date are we looking to for the $100,000 investment?
Yes, so it began on the 1st of November 2017 and it ends on the 31st of October 2018.
And from there, what would the investment amount increase to what?
Well, we are still discussing this with the government. It will definitely increase, but what that amount will be, if it will revert to 200,000, I'm not sure at this point.
That's okay, Charmaine. We're doing the same over here in the U.S.
We have to do some market research.
Mm-hmm. Charmaine, just a quick question. So the first way is via a contribution, which you've just described. Mm-hmm. This is a contribution which doesn't come back, right? It's a contribution to the government, which that's it.
That's a one-time investment.
Right. Okay, so then are the two methods after that if you didn't do a contribution?
Yes, you also can purchase real estate. Real estate that was previously approved by the government. You make that minimum investment of $400,000. There is also the requirement, once you've been approved under this option, to hold the investment for 5 years.
Right.
The third investment option is investment in business, where one individual can make this investment, and this amount would be $1.5 million, or two or more persons can join. The investment amount then increases to $5 million, but each person would need to invest at least $400,000.
Okay, so wow, that's totally different from some of the other countries. But when you're talking about a project, would that be a third-party project, not necessarily your own? I'm talking about the $400,000 real estate option.
Okay. A developer could get a project approved for a real estate so that applicants can purchase the property, purchase the unit, and that would be a qualifying investment under the program.
So if somebody actually wanted to make an investment and get a return on their investment, this would be one of the options they could look at.
That is correct, because after the 5 years, you have the option to sell that property. Additionally, the business investment option gives you an opportunity to obtain a return on your investment, because invariably under this option, the applicant will be issued a share. And so there is an annual return on the investment.
You know, we talked a little bit about that third option, the investment in a business and how it could be a single person or multiple people and how some of those rates are, those investment hurdle amounts change. But, you know, that second option of investment in an approved real estate project, you did mention business, just approved real estate project. Could you build a house for at least $400,000 and it be deemed as an approved real estate project and then you live in that house? Does it have to be a business?
No, you'd have to have prior approval. It would mean, therefore, that you'd have to purchase the land and then get approval to purchase the land and then build that property within a 2-year period. But this is usually on an exception basis because we do have at least 45 approved projects. And 28 of them actually have product that you can walk up, touch and feel, determine whether or not it's your style, make whatever adjustments you would like to suit your own personality.
Sure.
That opportunity.
Okay.
Charmaine, last week we had Dr. Ashby, who was discussing projects in Grenada, and he had suggested that although there's a number of projects that get approved, only a small amount of projects actually go all the way. Is that the case here?
Well, no, not necessarily in Antigua. As I said, there are 28 of the projects that actually have product. More than half of these 28 with product on schedule in terms of their plans. Of the remaining, there are various stages, some greenfield, some stage of foundation. So the projects are actually moving in Antigua and Barbuda. There is an opportunity for us to cull the list a bit, but I don't think it's as pervasive as in Grenada.
Charmaine, the last hurricane of this year, which was devastating, has that affected the current projects?
No, largely no. The hurricane only affected Barbuda, and currently there are only about two projects. There was one project that was underway that would have been severely affected. However, I'm told that construction has restarted on that project. It is impeded by the fact that utilities, etc., are not fully in place in Barbuda and probably won't be for a couple of months. And then there was another project that was set to start and that had been delayed a bit as a result. But that's just two projects out of the 45 we were speaking of. Antigua was not affected in any way. So the projects in Antigua are still on track.
So Charmaine, we heard, you know, all 45 projects have been approved by the government. What do these projects have to go through in order to get approval?
We have application forms for the real estate development project. This can be had from the unit. We require persons to complete the application as well as provide the development plan for the site, the detailed construction that's approved by our development control authority. We need to get some information on the developer, the background of the developer, proof of ownership of the property that is going to be developed. If it is a company, we'd need the memorandum and the articles of association. We must know who are the beneficial owners of the project itself. We need a valuation report. These are for new property, for new construction. If it is an existing property that is being enhanced, then we'd need a business operational plan. On the both scenarios, we need financials, projections. If the project is already existing, we'd need a historical accounts, financials. We need proof of funding.
So I think this is great, though, that at least it's going through approval through the government. And so do you feel that, you know, investors might feel more comfortable knowing that they're coming into projects that are already approved by the government?
Well, actually, you apply through the unit and then we review all of the documentation and make a recommendation to the government.
Mm-hmm.
So the unit plays a part in the process as well. We are the technicians. We understand the business a bit more, so we make our recommendations to the government.
Charmaine, I understand that dependents, of course, are included in the application. And, of course, that does include the spouse and children. What is the ages of the children? Is it 18 or 21?
We have a child from 0 up until 17 can be part of the application. And then from 18 to 28, once the applicant can demonstrate that the person, the child, is totally dependent on the applicant and is in a full-time study with a recognized and accredited university or institution.
That's actually very good because obviously most countries do not allow it, so a child to be recognized when they're that age. Other than children who are in university, what about children who, for example, are physically or mentally disabled?
Well, if a child is physically or mentally disabled, there's no age limit. Once the applicant clearly demonstrates the disability and also demonstrates that the child is totally dependent on him or her.
Mm.
As dependents, you can also include parents or parents of the applicant or parents of the spouses, the applicant's spouse, sorry, as well as grandparents.
Basically, then you can bring your mother-in-law along.
That's correct. You can bring in your mother-in-law or your father-in-law once they're age 65 and over.
Charmaine, it's a huge advantage to be able to bring your in-laws. I know, because we deal with so many investors from other countries who do have in-laws, parents who are dependent on them, and they're looking, if they want to do EB-5, for example, they're looking for alternatives for how they can bring their parents. But what are the other advantages of citizenship?
The other advantages of citizenship in Antigua and Barbuda is that you have mobility, visa-free mobility to 135 countries, including the United Kingdom and the European Union. Additionally, as I'd said before, Antigua has business infrastructure right here and ready. We also have a very well-educated workforce that's just ready to assist any company in setting up and producing. We also have a medical university here on Antigua and Barbuda. It's called American University of Antigua. It's a medical school, actually.
If you're a citizen, Charmaine, is it cheaper to get into medical school there?
It's the same fees. Is there an advantage of being a citizen?
Well, it just makes it easier for you to get enrolled in the school.
Okay. Yeah, because I know the local kids here have to do the MCATs to get in.
Mm. Yes, and I know that most persons are aware that Grenada has the St. George's University, but not many people know that Antigua also has a medical school here. And it's, as I said, it's affiliated with the U.S. So upon completion here, the successful student can transfer easily to the U.S. I did a recent trip in China, and the selling agents, they were pleased to hear that.
Yeah, that is a huge advantage, actually. Charmaine, I know Antigua is not an E2 country. Are there any plans for an E2 treaty in the near future?
Our government is currently in talks with the U.S. To see if we too can obtain the E2 visa. The talks are ongoing, but I'm not quite sure when this will happen.
Have you seen an increase in the amount of applicants recently? And if so, what countries?
Yes, particularly within the last 6 weeks, we would have seen quite a bit of increase in interest in the program. I believe that some of this may have been spurred on by the reduction in the NDF contribution. Additionally, within the last 2 to 3 months, we have been doing quite a bit of promotional travel to Europe, and the interest has really increased. We were in Montenegro. Our prime minister did a sterling job with promoting the program there. We were in Cannes, France, and more recently, we were in Hong Kong and China.
Well, interestingly, Charmaine, I think our current president is helping your economy also, because we were just in Abu Dhabi and we heard a lot of people asking whether or not they should have Caribbean passports before they even try to apply for the United States, because they thought their own passports weren't good enough. So if there's anything you can thank Donald Trump for, it's that.
Well, who would have thought we would have reached the end of an immigration-focused podcast by thanking President Trump? Yeah. Charmaine Quinlan-Donovan, thank you so much for coming on EB-5 Investment Voice and talking to us about Antigua, Barbuda, and your involvement with the Citizenship by Investment Unit.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being with us today on EB-5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw and Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.